This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, saving your day from boredom with the best podcasting entertainment.
What's up? Real MVPs, Ricky Widmer here, along with fellow man child, Johnny
Carlin.
And I wasn't going to say this, Johnny, but before I get into the full intro, I am. Uh-oh. If you're on YouTube, and this gives you a reason if you're an audio listener to come over and check out the YouTube video for this, we have two new additions to our... Well, we had one new addition last week.
Yes.
That I decided is a very good enough addition to stay. I liked him in the centerpiece. We got the Green Ranger helmet.
Very nice.
Right here that Dave was very envious over.
Oh, yeah.
Last week. And then you have a new addition as well, something that you bought online.
Thor Ragnarok helmet.
Yeah, a little Thor Ragnarok helmet where at any time Johnny can just say, screw it, I'm going to take these headphones off and I'm going full Thor mode.
Yep.
And I'm going to put the Ragnarok helmet on. So we've got two new additions, that's how I'll say it, to our set piece here. But we're back for the Rick and Johnny podcast where we talk about everything under the two nerdy suns, TV, entertainment, movies. We talk about superheroes, comics. We hit everything, but don't confuse us with a graphic conversation coming later this year. But Johnny, jam-packed show. Jam-packed. I had to wear this shirt.
Yeah, you did.
For one reason. We usually have sandwiches. Today we're not making a sandwich. Then we usually have Marvel.
More like an open face sandwich.
It's an open face sandwich. Usually then we have Marvel shows where it's Marvel, Marvel, Marvel. This is one we have not done in quite a while.
While
it is a full DC podcast, right. Here so on the Rick and Johnny podcast, sandwich. It is not. It is a full DC podcast. What we are looking at is really two big topics, and then we're splitting one of them into two to hit two separate areas. But the big news, the Batman, that whole script, the story, what we know a lot more things, and the big thing is Ben Affleck is out of the Batman. So first we're going to talk about who we could see, like the movie, and then who we could see being the next Batman, because that's the next thing we do when somebody leaves a role. Then the second topic, we're going to take that Batman discussion and kind of segue it into what it means for the future of DC movies now that we know what the Caped Crusader will look like in the next installment that he'll be in. And then we'll wrap the podcast up with some Birds of Prey.
There you go.
We got their teaser trailer. We're going to react on that short, it's what, like 30-second, 40-second trailer? It's not a lot, but there is a lot to react to, especially with a movie that me and you were kind of like, I don't know what we're going to get from this one. Now we actually see something with it. But before we get into everything, I actually have to give a shout out, and I hope my charging cord is long enough. So we had a listener, Johnny. He has gotten a shout out this week on every single podcast.
Ooh.
And the reason why, and you could also get a shout out like him too, if you go over to iTunes and Apple Podcast and rate the Rick and Johnny podcast, give us your rating. I will read it. Hopefully it's a good one here on the podcast. And this week he rated every single podcast on MVP. So this is us continuing the trend. He's been on every podcast. Sung Hyung, I hope I'm saying that right, 85, said awesome. Five starred us and said, very good podcast on comics, movies, TV shows, etc. Smiley face.
Damn.
And as of right now,
yeah, smiley face out of that one.
We are the only MVP podcast to have a perfect 5 out of 5.
Woo!
On their Apple iTunes. Everybody else that I've seen for MVP is at a 4.5.
Ooh.
We are perfect, Johnny. So help us keep that perfect rating and give us a 5-star. But let's get into the first topic, and that is the Batman. We got a lot to unpack with this one, as we found out this week, according to Deadline, and I'll read it here from the article I have. Deadline revealed that WB has given Matt Reeves, the Batman, as it is tentatively titled, a June 25th, 2021 release date.
Hmm.
The confirmation of the date comes after Reeves teased the likely release window. The report also confirms that has long been assumed that Ben Affleck is leaving the role behind for a younger actor to take over. Casting is currently underway to find the new Bruce Wayne. And the thing I want to unpack from this is we know the story is written by Matt Reeves. We also know it's going to include multiple villains from the Batman Rogues Gallery. We obviously know it's going to be a younger Batman, as I just said, younger actor. But the third thing is Ben Affleck isn't done playing Batman. He's got, I believe it's two more movies on his DC contract, so we could still see him in
one or two more.
Another movie, maybe like a Flashpoint, like maybe if they do another Justice League and he's in that.
Yeah, because here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Sorry, not to interrupt. But,
go ahead.
But like they still, from this one, I believe it's supposed to be a younger Batman.
Yes.
So they still need him for like if you have a Justice League, blah, blah, blah. If they finally get the Flashpoint out, they could just recast Batman after that.
But you'll still have Bruce in there, maybe as some flashbacks with Thomas.
You would need him.
Well, not really. He wouldn't get that.
You would probably need the Ben Affleck one for like the beginning of Flashpoint.
The ending of
the
Flashpoint.
End. Kick
get
him
that out of the way.
Kick him out of there and have someone else take over
here
because it changes the time. You can say it changes the timeline, makes the Batman a little bit different.
Yes.
Not saying you will. You have to. But
you could also, if
how can it be explained where you recast him at the end?
And that's an idea I've thrown out.
I know. That's why I'm bringing
it
back up.
It could just be also, no, this is a movie we're going to do with the Ben Affleck Batman. And yes, it's a movie that counts towards his contract. I don't know, like, if there's in the contract, I have to be in this much portion of the movie for it to
maybe,
work.
Maybe, maybe not.
But it could be as simple, hey, this is just going to be condensed to them. And when Barry comes back, spoilers for Flashpoint if you haven't read it.
Or watched it.
But when Barry comes back to his original timeline, he gives the letter to Bruce from his father, basically. And then you see the emotional scene of where Batman tears up. But they could do something like that. Not necessarily Flashpoint, but it could be a different movie, a Justice League movie. They could do a pair-up movie. Let's say they do like a Nightwing movie that has Batman in it. He could also be, let's say, in Birds of Prey, which we're going to talk about later since that's a Gotham movie. He could show up in a Suicide Squad movie. So, I mean,
which, I mean, he did in the other one, after credit scene, but still.
Well, still, not just the after credit scene.
Was he
in the Deadshot portion.
You're right, he was.
When he came to get Deadshot in front of his daughter.
That's right,
I forgot.
He was
like, come on, we got to go. And he's like, come on, not in front of my daughter, man. He's like, we got to do this. So he was even in that portion of it. He was also in the part where Harley and the Joker were in that Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on top of the Lamborghini, and then the Joker put that in there. So, like, he was in that movie, and that's where Ben Affleck, not totally done being Batman, but might not necessarily be a Batman movie. One thing I kind of want to hit before we get into, because the meat and potatoes of this is who's going to be the next Batman. Or, like, not names of, like, who's definitely, but just throwing out some names that
ideas
could
of
be.
People who could be, yeah.
And when we start that discussion, I have one to kick it off.
Okay.
And his name's not Jake Gyllenhaal. But the first thing I want to ask you is about the script. Because Matt Reeves, we knew when he came in, his big bugaboo was basically, yeah, that script that you have, I don't want it.
Yeah.
If I'm coming in to do this, I'm making it my own. Because he said recently that this Batman movie is going to be something that we've never seen before. Which, to me, as a Batman fan, I'm kind of intrigued.
Yeah.
Give me something that I haven't seen before. But also, we're seeing it will have multiple villains. To go on top of a discussion I think we had 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you? Does that narrow it down, younger Batman, what villains we could see out of here?
I don't know if it necessarily narrows it down.
And would this be necessarily, because we looked at ones that wouldn't be repeats. Does he just repeat a villain? I know it's like something you haven't seen before, but could he maybe like, oh, the Riddler is going to be one of the villains in this, although we've seen the Riddler on the screen.
I mean, not that we can't reuse any of the villains that have been used before. It's just there, maybe they'll take a different take on it and hopefully a good refreshing take on it. Because, I mean, the only Riddler we've ever had in live action is Jim Carrey's.
Yeah.
I don't know how you felt about it.
I loved, as a kid, loved the
kid
Jim Carrey
loved it,
movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I still enjoy it.
I haven't watched it in a while.
It's the Arnold Mr. Freeze that just makes me go, this was a product of its time.
Yeah.
It was a product of its time. I probably wouldn't do Mr. Freeze like this in the future.
Not like that.
But it was absolutely
I think we'll probably get a darker, more psychological version of that type of guy. Whereas Mr. Freeze, I don't know if there's necessarily the heavy psychological like the Riddler would be, for example, but it'd be refreshing if we actually got like something that sort of looked from the animated series or from the comics.
See, the one that I'm targeting, and this is also, we've talked about this in the past, and this has also been a thing where this entire Batman story, like the Batman story, we have been talking about this for the better part of 2 years, Johnny.
Yes.
Because if you think about it, and this is the only reason I like know this, is our podcast, it's actually coming up. It isn't our birthday. I got to double check. It's not our podcast birthday coming up soon. I know January, February is when we started that. Yeah. I don't know if this week is also our podcast birthday, but if you look at our thumbnails.
Podcast-iversary?
Basically. We've had three types of thumbnails through our history.
Oh, wow.
The one we have now, the one that was the blue R&J text in the corner.
Yeah.
And then the very first one when we started the podcast where it would have the full video title on the thumbnail at the bottom. The first time we talked about Matt Reeves being like announced as taking over this movie was that first thumbnail. The one with the, so basically think about this. Around the time we reviewed Logan was when we started talking about Matt Reeves taking on this movie.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
And now we finally got to the point where we have a date for it. Mm-hmm. We know Ben Affleck's not going to be in it. And one of the stories we talked about, this is the long game of getting there, and I want to get your new thoughts on this of, because now it could be a possibility. Remember, we talked about Josh Gad, who at the time recently was LeFou in Beauty and the Beast. He has said he would love to play the Penguin. And Matt Reeves has also offered up that he loves Gad and is good friends with the actor. That is one where I see it's like, okay, think about the last time we saw the Penguin in a movie. Danny DeVito. Vastly different could just mean in that case, it ain't a Tim Burton movie, basically.
Yeah.
Because that was Tim Burton. That was like when you think of Tim Burton movies, it's over here in a corner. Tim does his own thing. They're usually good movies, but he's got his own style to those movies, to where that is one villain that I'm looking at. I'm like, if WB can lock up Josh Gad for that role, that would be an interesting villain to go up against a young Batman, because then you could play the detective side of things and not the brute side of
things. That would be nice. And that would be kind of... I'm trying to think of how to describe it. Mm-hmm. It would be very different to have Josh Gad play it as opposed to the Danny DeVito version.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I didn't dislike the Danny DeVito one.
No, it was a great version.
It was, but it would be interesting to see how Josh Gad plays the role now, especially with just different acting styles and everything.
Well, and that's the thing, too, where I mean...
And different, like, I almost said Danny Elfman, but what's the... Tim Burton version compared to Reeves.
Yeah, you're thinking composers.
I did think composers.
But I mean, that is even something that I think about where it's like, because when they say, and I'm fixating on this a little bit, when they say vastly different.
Yeah.
To me, that doesn't mean like, okay, this movie had this character, we can't use it.
Yeah.
To me, what it says is what I think that Matt Reeves is going to go for is... Think of the Batmans that we've seen.
Yeah.
It's not going to be hokey or campy or jokingly like the George Clooney ones, even the Val Kilmer ones. The Michael Keaton one, I believe he was the one that was Tim Burton. So it's not going to be like that either because it's not going to be Tim Burton.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's also not going to be like Ben Affleck and Christian Bale because both of those Batmans...
More about brute force.
Batmans, yes. Especially Christian Bale. After rewatching The Dark Knight recently, it's very much like...
Brute force and not a whole lot of detective work.
Like, the most detective work that we get is in The Dark Knight when he has to go to China to kidnap that one that one character that has all the money for the bad guys in Gotham.
Yeah.
With like, and working with Lucius with like the phone that has the sonar system, so you can see the how the Navy gets out of evacuation situations, and having the plane with the hook. That was probably the most detective work.
Even then, it's more gadgets than it is detective work.
Exactly. And where this may be more on that detective side, hell, it could even be, if we're going younger Batman, who's to say we don't go with a so much green version of Batman to where he's freshly
Batman Year One?
Basically, like yeah. Batman Year One doesn't even have a relationship with Commissioner Gordon yet.
Yeah. What would be cool is kind of, since they said multiple villains, mm-hmm. Penguin and Riddler. One's more of like the crime bossy mm-hmm. side, which is Penguin.
Yeah.
And one is literally just there to outsmart the Batman.
Which would, that's where you would need that detective side
yeah.
of things.
And I feel like then you'd have to have him established, like, he'd be past Year One, mm-hmm. but he's still fairly fresh.
Yeah, I'm not saying, like, and that's for sure, I'm not saying, like, oh, let's give him right away, for sure, he's fresh
on
the
job. Oh, no, I'm just saying, though, that one, like, mm-hmm. if you're going to do that, you have to have him, because you have to have him, like, having solved a few crimes and all yes. that, and then the Riddler would want to come up and say, I can outsmart him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that would kind of entail of
yeah.
wanting to challenge him.
Where the Penguin could be already established, like an established crime boss in the world.
Yes.
Whereas you look at the Riddler, he could just be up and coming.
Exactly.
And also, I found it out. The Matt Reeves direct video,
mm-hmm.
where we said Matt Reeves to direct the Batman, was on our first ever podcast.
Oh my God.
Think about that. February, this video posted February 14th, 2017.
Wow.
So really our podcast anniversary, we're two weeks from it.
Damn.
So Valentine's weekend is basically this. The podcast after Valentine's or around Valentine's weekend.
Yeah.
That's our anniversary.
Aww.
Technically it's the 12th. Technically we recorded on the 12th. Our videos are our topics for that one.
Uh-huh.
Ready for this? I think we did four.
Probably not.
We did four that week. Will Logan be the best X-Men movie ever? Yes.
Yes, it was.
Matt Reeves to direct the Batman. Power Rangers movie, what should we expect?
Wow.
And Marvel movies theory, where will we find the soul gem?
Well, we know now.
Yeah, we were wrong, basically.
We were very wrong.
And because we mentioned hella in that video, we were hella wrong in that movie.
To be fair, who would have guessed that's where we would find it?
Not in a million years.
No.
So here's what I want to segue into before we go into the greater discussion of this and segue into topic number two. The biggest question is, who's going to be that next Batman? Who's going to be the one to be Batman in The Batman? And I know a lot of people are going to say Jake Gyllenhaal, which I will say could technically still work, because just because he's Mysterio in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
There's no, like, Marvel to me, Kevin Feige to me, is not the guy to say, let's put in the contract that you cannot work with them. And the reason why I say that is they asked him about Aquaman. And of course, when you're asked a question with a microphone, you're Kevin Feige, you're not going to be a douche about it.
No.
Like, I don't know if this is how he really feels, but I would like this to be how he really feels, where he was saying, like, he was excited. He went and saw it because he's like, I don't see Marvel versus DC. He goes, I just see great superhero movies. So for me, Jake Gyllenhaal is still an option. We knew that apparently Matt Reeves, before the Spider-Man Far From Home thing happened, and that could have just happened because Jake could have just went to Matt and said, hey, I know you want me to be the Batman, but shit or get off the pot, man. Like,
yeah.
This is not done.
It's like, you know, I need to take another role.
I can't. Marvel probably came to him and he was like, Matt, I can't pass up this opportunity.
Exactly.
So unless you're ready to go, I'm going to
take
here.
This to Marvel.
But now the timelines could work. Far From Home is in post-production. Jake is done with everything that he has to do.
All they really need is possible reshoots.
Possible.
About it.
But, I mean, at this point, we're...
We're a few months out,
yeah,
so we're
July.
A little done
we're
with that.
We're past reshoots.
Yeah.
We're now packaging and finishing all the editing. This could be perfect. Like, Jake Gyllenhaal, could you see Jake being the next Batman?
I think it could be a young Bruce Wayne. I think it could work well.
Mm-hmm. Like, to me, let's say if he is Batman, like yeah. you say he could work, what about him? I'm going to get a little deep dive in
there. First off, this is the thing you and I always mm-hmm. talk about. Looks is one of them. Yes. To me,
you got to look like Bruce.
You got to look like Bruce. You got to look like whatever superhero you're portraying. And mm-hmm. I would say this, Marvel does a fantastic job of everyone they pick.
Yeah.
And Marvel, MCU, mm-hmm. Marvel, Disney Marvel, mm-hmm. to be specific. Every person they've picked has worked well and done really well, except, I mean, yeah, we switched out Rhodey from the first to the second movie.
Yeah.
We'll be fair about that.
But that was, I believe...
And Bruce.
He wanted more
money.
That's
a contractual thing. So it's like, no, we're going to go with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And look how well that worked out.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they switched out Bruce Banner. Again, that was a contractual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted more money? No, we're not paying you that much.
Yeah, and I mean, with Jake Gyllenhaal, the thing that I kind of think of is he can look like Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
To me, with Gyllenhaal... It's the personality.
Yes, like, I think he has that.
I'm not saying he doesn't, but it's one of those where if Gyllenhaal, to me, gets the role, it's not going to... Like, let's say there is, and I'm not saying he's not, but uh-huh. let's just say there's a perfect choice for the Batman.
Okay.
Like, lesser actor, looks like Bruce, is exactly Bruce, would be the perfect Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
What I kind of feel is there may be a, not just that Matt Reeves really wants Jake, to where if they offered Jake the role.
Yeah.
Or if he came to Matt and said, hey, I would love to be Batman. I feel like Matt would campaign for him.
Yeah.
Because the rumors were Matt really wanted Jake to be Batman when he was writing it. Who knows what could happen during rewrites, like with him working the script. His image of Batman might have changed after they changed some things. But that's one thing. Number two, it's Jake freaking Gyllenhaal. Like, that is a name where it's like, let's put that on the poster.
Not to mention...
Like, Ben freaking Affleck.
Well, not
Christian
to mention...
Christian Bale.
Not to mention, Jake Gyllenhaal hasn't, to me, been in a lot of movies that have, like... put mm-hmm. his name out there again.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be in Spider-Man Far From Home right before this.
Mm-hmm.
This is bringing his name back up.
I mean, but overall, like, he's a guy that Jarhead or Jughead? The Marines video.
Jarhead.
Donnie Darko.
Yes, exactly.
Is basically the thing that put him on the map.
Yeah. And I'm saying, like, I other than, like, Jarhead was, how many years ago was that one?
A long time ago.
Yeah, so,
and
I mean...
We were in high school, I believe.
He's been, like, kind of flying low on the radar mm-hmm. when it comes to him doing movies, from what I can remember.
You know what's also funny?
Huh?
If he did get the role of the Batman...
Yeah.
Him and his sister, who there is a feud... No, they love each other, but, like, on the Colbert Report, they were trying to play fun at maybe a feud.
Yeah.
Little sibling rivalry. What does Maggie Gyllenhaal have on Jake?
What?
Jake's never been in a Batman movie. Maggie Gyllenhaal has.
What'd she play?
She was Rachel in The Dark Knight. She was Rachel.
That's her? Yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know she was Maggie Gyllenhaal. No,
she died. Spoiler. But spoiler, how many years later? Like 11 years later. But yeah, spoiler. She dies. But she was in The Dark Knight.
I didn't realize
Jake
that.
Jake Gyllenhaal has never been in a Batman movie, I believe. But yeah, there is one.
I mean, he might win that one at that point if he plays the Batman.
Yeah, he'd be Batman. But there's two in my head after looking at pictures and different actors that I think for sure one looks like Batman. The other one I think could work.
Mm-hmm.
This would be going really young Batman because the actor's age.
Yeah.
He would be closer to Dave's age, a month younger than Dave, but if we were in high school, we would be in the same high school as this actor, Nicholas Holt. Do you know who that is? You should know who that is.
Not offhand.
Hank from First Class, the Beast.
Oh, really?
Yes. I look at him and I go, okay, with the right haircut, with the right kind of suit, not with the short hair that I'm looking at now. That would totally not work. As Bruce, but looking like if he grows his hair out a little bit, has it styled the right way.
Yeah.
I think he could look like Bruce Wayne, a very young Bruce Wayne, and he would be my pick if we're going more towards that greener Batman, where it's like, hey, I'm very young. I'm still kind of learning the ropes kind of
Batman. I'd almost think to maybe see if he can do a little bit of stubble too then, mm-hmm. just to kind of... Because he had really like a really young looking face.
Yes, and he was clean shaven.
Yeah, I don't know if that to me would work.
Which would not bother me.
It could, yeah, it could work too. I would almost just to give him like, make him look a little bit like he's actually in his late 20s type Batman. But I mean, we could be going like young 20 or mid 20s Batman.
Because the one thing I'm going to pull up really quick is because he was in Mad Max. I don't remember what he looked like. Okay. So, all right. No, he wouldn't like.
What was his name again?
In Mad Max, he was the guy that was like completely bald, no facial hair.
No, what was his name again, though?
Nicholas Holt. With an H-O-U-L-T, and Holt. The Mad Max one probably would not work. But he is one that, like, I looked at and I was like, you know what? I liked him in First Class.
No, I could see him as it now. Now I can see think of his face better.
Like, that is one that I looked at and I was like, you know what? He's not my top choice. But he's one, especially if we're going on the greener route of things, that I could definitely see because he's got he's got the chops for it. And I know that this is kind of like a territory that you get into. Like, I'm going to compare it to, I was talking to Pete.
I just sent you a picture that I can see, like, now I can see Bruce Wayne.
Did you send it on Facebook?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I can see him as Bruce Wayne with this one.
Pete about this with wrestling, where he said the one thing that kind of annoys some pro wrestlers is the fact that people who have never
that would make them look like Bruce Wayne right there.
Suit, little bit of stubble on the side, little bit
just the hair
with the mustache
parted right in the right spot,
exactly,
and combed sideways,
exactly. And the thing is, like, that is one where it's like, yes, I could see him being a young Bruce Wayne. But like I was saying, Pete said, where wrestlers, some of them get annoyed when it's like, you've never bumped in the ring. You've never done what I do. How are you going to critique what I can do? Where I will say this. I have never acted professionally. I am not a professional actor. No. I've done minor acting, if you could say that, and like minor plays in high school, but nothing on the level where he's at. So that's what I want to say before I say what I'm going to say. Is that he has been in good, he's been in big movies, Mad Max, the X-Men series. I totally didn't even recognize him as this, but from Warm Bodies, he was R the Zombie.
Was he really?
Yes.
No, totally I did not recognize him as that.
And that was right before Days of Futures Past. So, I mean, that was First Class that happened, then Warm Bodies happened.
Wow.
Then Future.
He looks like a 17-year-old in Warm Bodies.
Exactly. Well, maybe at the time it was the hair, like the makeup too, like the whiter makeup, the longer hair. But yeah, that was one. And he's apparently right now, here is his movies that he's got right now.
Okay.
He's going to be in the Tolkien movie that's completed.
Really?
That he's playing J.R.R. Tolkien in that movie.
Oh, wow.
He's Hank McCoy in Dark Phoenix, which, by the way, saw another review on it. Apparently, people are not liking it, makes me a little nervous. The mouse needs to come in and save it.
He will.
It's in post-production for Dark Phoenix.
We need to stop fighting the mouse on this and just let him have it.
Now it's June, by the way.
Yeah, I know. June. We need to just let the mouse have it.
The True History of the Kelly Gang, which is in post-production.
Interesting.
The Banker, which is filming right now, he's Matt Steiner in that. And then he's in a TV series, which is in pre-production, called Crossing Swords. So,
Swords.
Depending on that Crossing Swords, because here's another thing with the Batman that you got to think about with these actors. It's a 2021 release date.
Yeah.
When is that going to start filming? Are they going to shoot for a fall 2019 filming? Are they going to shoot for a winter 2020, because they can't wait too long.
Yeah, exactly, because you still have, you have a lot of the filming to do, you have the reshoots to do, you have the post-production stuff to do.
At the soonest, summer 2019, fall 2019 is when they begin filming this. So that's what you got to think about, too, with what
I feel like latest should be winter 2019.
The latest. Yeah,
the latest.
I'm talking about like the soonest we can get it.
As soon as we can get it is that. The latest we should get it is
2020.
Winter 2019,
we're
We're
in 2019 now.
Yes, I'm thinking, yes, winter 2020.
Yeah.
My bad.
Like, and that's the thing.
Sorry, because winter goes one month into the other.
Exactly.
Or 1 year into the other.
Here's another one, and I want you to pull this one up before I ask you about it.
Okay.
Type in Jamie Doran, 50 Shades of Grey.
Doran?
Yes. D-O-R-N-A-N.
Dornan.
Dornan. I said Dorman. Dornan.
Doran. Yeah, I could see him. I don't know how he is as an actor, but...
Tell me about that, because you want to know, like, and I'm going to hit the camera so that we're back on it.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, because this guy, Jamie Dornan, Christian Grey in 50 Shades of Grey.
I know. I don't know. I mean, he's got the look for Bruce, but I don't know how his acting is, so I couldn't say as an actor how he would be. I mean, if someone below wants to say that they could see Christian Grey being Bruce Wayne
Christian
as well.
Christian Grey's a very unique character. And
from what
so
I hear,
far,
I've never seen it.
I'm
has
just
Ricky,
saying,
has Ricky watched 50 Shades of Grey?
Based off of what is known about the actor, or not actor, the character of Christian Grey.
There you go.
It's a very, very different kind of a role than Bruce Wayne. Also, looking at his past product, like he was in Robin Hood. That was the 2018 version.
Yeah, I wish I got to see that one.
But he's one to me where, like, I look at his past films. And yet again, this is not something that dictates good or not. But I think it will play in with Warner Brothers of who they can sell. The biggest thing that he's been in is 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Arguably. Like, that is what he is known for, is Christian Grey. And that is something to where it's like, will they go with a Jake Gyllenhaal who has a plethora of movies that he is known for? The other one that I like, because basically I just feel like he could fit as Bruce Wayne. I've kind of been going in reverse order. I'd like Nicholas Hoult to get it. That would be cool. Jamie is one where he's the next one that I see looking like Bruce Wayne. The last one is Ben Barnes. And you might be like, who is Ben Barnes? Johnny, the last time I saw Ben Barnes in a movie was 2010-2008, when he was Prince Caspian in the Chronicles of Narnia movies.
Wow.
That is, and he was also, just to say, because I haven't watched it yet, he has been in The Punisher Season 2. He was Billy Russo in The Punisher. He was also in Westworld, but shockingly to Dave, and I'm going to shock the world
here. So
he
was in the first one, too, then. He was in Punisher.
Was he?
If he's Billy Russo?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. 25 episodes. Yeah, he was in the first one, too.
Yeah.
So he was Billy Russo in The Punisher, and then Westworld are the two latest things that he's been really known for. But the last movie that he did, actual, like, movie, Seventh Son in 2014. So he's been doing, obviously, because of how Westworld and The Punisher are higher kind of TV series, especially Westworld. That's a huge HBO production. And he's been in that since 2016. Do they look at somebody who hasn't done a movie
but has the his name out there
in 5 years?
It might be hard because, like I said, the reason that Jake Gyllenhaal will have a bigger name if they were to get him, for example, is because he'll just have been in a Marvel movie.
Exactly.
And his name will be kind of like from plateaued to shot back up to like, oh shit, Jake Gyllenhaal was in this and this.
Yep.
Like, yeah, you got the people that remember, like you brought up, and I know he's in Donnie Darko, but how many years ago was that?
Exactly. It was
and then
many,
I know he's also
ago.
In Jarhead, but again, how many years ago was that? When you're not acting as much, your name kind of starts to slip under the radar, and you get the when the name's brought up, oh yeah, I know who that is. But if you were just in a movie, it's like, oh shit, he was just in this. It's a little bit different reaction. So you kind of want someone that's been in stuff lately, so their name is still kind of up there. But like, if you can get hit, Ben Barnes, if you can get him,
we're missing
in something like this. I mean, he wasn't, like I said, like you said, not Ben Barnes is in The Punisher.
Movie, by the way. Brokeback Mountain. We're missing his biggest movie in Brokeback
Mountain.
Maybe
I was trying to avoid
that
one.
The thing that broke him in 2005 was Brokeback Mountain.
Broke him in or broke him? What do you
You caught that. No, what really, like, really in 2005,
I know.
Like, that was his big movie.
On that.
But this is just to list off the last few movies that he's been in.
Yeah.
So he's going to be Spider-Man Far From Home, Velvet Buzzsaw, which is a good horror thriller that's on Netflix. The Sisters Brothers. He was in Stronger, which I believe that was the boxing film. Southpaw was the boxing film. Nightcrawler, which was another horror movie.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Nightcrawler.
End of Watch, which was the cop movie. He was in Prince of Persia, Sands of Time. He was in Zodiac. Jarhead was 2005.
Wow.
So it was Brokeback Mountain and Jarhead were in the same year for him. And then he's also been in Donnie Darko and Bubble Boy.
Oh, yeah, Bubble Boy.
2001.
I forgot about Bubble Boy.
So, and the thing with Jake Gyllenhaal and why he'd be my number one is he's painting a broad brush.
Yeah,
I can do a little bit of horror. I can do a little bit of superhero. I can do a little bit of this. And the thing I want to ask you.
I can do a little, I don't want to necessarily call it psychodrama, mm-hmm. but Donnie Darko I would consider it psychodrama.
And imagine this. We've talked about it before. I don't know if Matt Reeves is going in this direction. It could be going back to that something we haven't seen.
Yeah.
What if they're going to make this Batman movie a horror movie?
Could be.
I've talked about that before. It's a topic that I've really wanted to talk about.
We talked about once because it was actually out there. Like, mm-hmm. oh, we might make this Batman one a horror movie.
Yes. I know we've had on the shelf an actual topic for painting that movie out. But if you're going to go with those horror aspects, which you could go with in Batman, Batman can have drama in it as well. And obviously it's a superhero movie.
Yeah.
I think Jake Gyllenhaal, unless he blatantly says no, or they don't offer him the part at all, I think he's locked up for it then. But otherwise my dark horse would be the one I want to see. Go with a greener Batman.
Yeah.
Give me Hank McCoy as Bruce Wayne.
I got one that would be interesting.
Go ahead.
What would you say about Kit Harington?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I wouldn't hate it. I would not.
I'd like to see what he can do with that.
He would have to get rid of the John Snow accent.
I know.
He would have to go. And that's the thing where.
Voice coaching comes in.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Because he's British. Which also, Ben Barnes and Nicholas Holt, they're both British as well.
Yeah, but Ben Barnes, have you watched the Punisher series?
Yes, I watched the first one. Exactly.
No British accent.
And that's why I didn't like Hank McCoy. No British in it. I'm trying to think. Does Jon Snow have a little British in him? I'm trying to think of Jon Snow's voice.
More Scottish.
I know it's different than his actual voice.
Yeah.
But that's the thing where I'm not saying he can't do it, but that's the thing of in my head, I can't hear him in an American accent.
I don't know if he has. I'm trying to make
sure. Bruce Wayne. It would be interesting, though. That was a shot out of left field that I didn't expect.
Yeah. Well, I found it on
HBO's coming
to their
Game
end.
Game of Thrones is coming to an end.
Yeah. So he'll be.
Not Game of Thrones. HBO is coming to their end. Game of Thrones isn't there.
As soon as Game of Thrones is over, it's all over for HBO.
What else do we have from there?
No, I got nothing else.
He would be very interesting. It would be one where I'd scratch my head, but I wouldn't hate it because I actually do like Kit.
Yeah, I would just want to hear if he can do an American accent. Mm-hmm. So that would be the biggest thing.
So we'll say this. The ones that we have right now, the ones that we've thrown out, Jake Gyllenhaal, Nicholas Holt is in the pot, Jamie Dornan is in the pot, Ben Barnes, Kit Harington. Before we move on to the next part of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
do you have any more or any final things you want to throw in to this topic, which longer than I expected it to?
Yeah, no, I really don't have any other ones right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw a few. You listed half the ones I was going to bring up. Okay. So.
Well, I got one more for you. I forgot to ask you about this one. This could be really quick here at the end. The big one, the actor who has already thrown his name into the conversation. Could we get Nick Jonas as the next Batman, Johnny?
Make him Terry McGinnis.
Terry McGinnis or Dick Grayson.
Yeah, like, one of the two. He's a little too baby face.
I looked at that and I was like, you know, this isn't a Disney production, right? You know, Disney is Marvel, right?
Yeah.
You know that, right? They do that Marvel
He's just a little too baby face to play Bruce Wayne. Yeah, like
really green.
Year Batman. One green or
yeah, like hey, I just became or the joke I was gonna say, and don't take this the wrong way, Nick, but like, oh man, my parents just died. That green, because that's how young he looks.
Yeah,
that's how young he looks.
He's really young looking.
So this is where you guys come in. Let us know what you think down below in that comment section. What do you think about the Batman first? What do you think about that? Also, who could you see or who would you want to see being Batman in The Batman, because that's the title that we have right now. Let us know what you think down below. And Johnny, let's segue into part two of this discussion, where if you're on YouTube and you did not hear part one, make sure I'll put it above Johnny, where we looked at The Batman, who will be Batman, and we went a good long, I think like 40-some, 30-some minutes on that topic, but what I wanted to kind of break off into its own topic so that it didn't get kind of swallowed by everything is actually, before I get into that, make sure to check out patreon.com/mostavailablepodcast. Help support the channel. We cannot do what we do without your support, and we love our patrons. $10 tier, you could join a Rick and Johnny podcast and talk about whatever you want to talk about here on the podcast. But Johnny, now let's get into it. I forgot I had to do that.
Yep.
And so the Batman has its date, June 25th, 2021.
Yes.
And there was an interview with, I believe it was The Hollywood Reporter, that I watched. I played it for us before the podcast, of Patty Jenkins from Wonder Woman. And she was asked about her and director James Wong, who did Aquaman, if either of them would be, like, could do a Justice League film. And if she'd want to do a Justice League film. And what she said, her answer to me was interesting, is she said that she hopes that DC kind of pushes Justice League down the road. Like, not to the point where we never do one.
Yeah, but good time right now.
But don't do one yet, because of, like, think about what we've had. We've had Wonder Woman. Aquaman's a good self-contained story.
Yep.
We're going to have Shazam in April of 2019. Birds of Prey, which we're going to talk about next. We get their teaser trailer. That's going to be February 7th, 2020. And then Wonder Woman, 1984, which is going to be June of 2020. The other films we got, The Batman, like I said, June 25th, 2021. Suicide Squad, the second one, August 6th, 2021. And then right now, The Flash has been pushed back. That is now looking for a 2021, maybe a 2022 release date. The thing I want to ask you is everything about the Batman that we talked about with the movie. Now that we have a release date, we know that it's going to be a self-contained, like, Batman story. How does this affect the other DC movies? Not just the ones that we have, but even, like, the ones that we've talked about, even. Like, for example, the one that's not on there, the Green Lantern movie, that's supposed to be a buddy cop movie that Geoff Johns is still writing, which is a buddy cop movie between Jon Stewart and Hal Jordan. Does this news that we found out about the Batman, and now that it's happening at this date, does it affect the future DC movies at all?
You know what? Try and get this straight. So, is this the new Batman movie coming out supposed to affect anything?
Yes.
Okay. Will it, I just want to make anything? Sure I got yes. that right in my head. You know what? With what it sounds like they're doing so far, no, not necessarily, because it's supposed to be a younger Batman. So this is more like a flashback movie, sort of like both Wonder Womans are supposed to be.
Yes.
So it really doesn't touch. Like, let's say it's just a main timeline. This is where the Justice League is. Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Batman, Superman, et cetera, et cetera. Everything branches off and everything still interconnects at some point, which I guess a tree is a bad way to go about it. But we'll stick with that for now. Wonder Woman's is just like, hers were both flashbacks. It doesn't affect anything. It is what it is. It's its own separate stories. And then Wonder Woman is the thing that makes it part of the Justice League.
Yeah.
Well, same thing with Batman. It's just, this is a side Batman story that has mm-hmm. nothing to do with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
The most it does is say, you know what? We're better at making all individual stories. We'll come back to a Justice League when we've got more people set up and ready mm-hmm. to go. Like, I think they should wait till at least after a Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Get the Flashpoint movie done.
Give the Flash his own movie, period.
Yeah, yeah. Give the Flash his own movie first. I can mm-hmm. go give or take on Cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, that's the only other member left. Henry Cavill / Superman has had his own movie.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what you're going to do with him since he's gone now.
Well, there's also rumors that if they did a Justice League 2,
yeah.
that Henry Cavill would be interested in coming back as Superman for that movie.
Just for that type yeah. of thing. So sort of like... what Hemsworth will do after
yes.
his movies are done with...
Exactly, with Marvel.
Marvel, yeah. He's like, I'll come back for a Thor movie mm-hmm. or whatever you want me to do, but anyone else with acting, I'll mm-hmm. wait. I'll hold off. But yeah, so, I mean, it could if it's that situation, yeah, like, bring it, make it down the road. Or see if he'll... If we want to go off, like, the cartoon version, mm-hmm. I don't know how close that is to the actual comic book one.
Okay.
You can bring Henry Cavill in. It's going to be a lot of CGI,
mm-hmm.
but at least you, like, if you get his face motion capture and stuff, and like mostly you have to green suit him or mm-hmm. gray suit him, so you can be that really thin Superman.
Yeah,
like
the one that we saw. That
spoiler,
was
like sorry.
white suit from Flashpoint, where basically they captured Superman and kept him underground.
Yeah, exactly.
And he has not been getting radiation from the sun.
He has not touched the sun, mm-hmm. so that's why he's like. Spindly and weak, and mm-hmm. I mean, you can recast someone else to do that too mm-hmm. if you wanted. Maybe someone that's like more of that body shape, or you can just do what they did with the original when they did it to Chris Evans in the first Captain America one.
Mm-hmm.
They basically superimposed his face on a smaller body,
mm-hmm. and so I'm kind of conflicted because. Yeah.
But I don't think overall to answer the question. I don't think it's really gonna mess with anything.
I think it's going to affect, but not in the fact of like how you thought it. Or you're saying, oh, it's not going to change. It's not going to change anything we have.
Yeah.
I just think with me, and you kind of hit on it with Marvel, I feel like DC was a victim or the major casualty to the universe era in
yeah.
films. Because think about it right now. I saw an article yesterday, which the Blumhouse films, which is like the Jason movie, the Halloween movie that came out, the Happy Death Day, like all these horror films yeah. that apparently they're teasing at a Blumhouse universe between these horror films.
And Interesting.
I'm like, come on.
Not everyone has to have a universe.
Like, let's be honest. The major casualty was Universal because their monster universe didn't even get off the ground.
Yeah, before it was one movie.
It just fell right away. Thank you, Tom Cruise. But like DC was our first big hit from the kind of universe craze where everyone after Marvel's like, that's how we get success. We make a universe, we get it together, go, 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 go. And DC felt forced, obviously, because DC and Marvel are always linked in the superhero genre. But I look at it, and I want to ask you this question. It's not a major question, but yeah. just a thing that came off my head while you were talking. Did Marvel get lucky? Like, think back to the Avengers Phase 1 movies.
Yeah.
Is it bad to say that maybe Marvel just got lucky? That A, it was a hit, and B, they were able to turn that idea of movies into a 10-year, like, nobody else, it's not like people wake up, like, if it was that easy, everyone
exactly.
would be doing what they are doing. A little bit of it has to be luck.
To a degree, yeah, but I think what happened is, like, all their cards came in the right place. That's when, mm-hmm. in the way they're lucky is, like, they got Kevin Feige, they got the Russo brothers, and they got, like, all these
Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man.
Yeah, exactly. You got all these people, like, they got the, mm-hmm. like, they've been, like, hitting the pick of the litter of all this stuff
mm-hmm.
because... And then to some degree, that's luck because mm-hmm. it's like, okay, we picked this guy. And it all worked out because they made a 10-year thing out of it.
Yep.
They found their formula of what works. And guess what? They didn't just keep remaking that same exact formula.
Mm-hmm.
The basic, like, rudimentary part of it. The skeletal frame of that formula is still there. Mm-hmm. But we changed it shit inside of it so that it's not all the same thing all the time.
And
that's what happened with Marvel. DC kind of became its own casualty mm-hmm. because it tried to catch up with Marvel. It should have figured out its own path of that.
I think popularity plays into it as well.
It does.
Think about this. I'm going to compare it back to DC.
Yeah, go ahead.
Iron Man and Cap. Mm-hmm. Arguably the biggest two actors right now, I'm going to say, in the MCU.
Yeah.
You've got Robert Downey Jr., you got Chris Evans. And look at their characters before a Marvel movie came out.
Yeah.
When that Iron Man movie was coming out, the biggest thing I know for me, I'm more of a DC guy, but like for me, it was like, I know who Iron Man is, but like,
I know of Iron Man.
I'm not expecting a lot out of this. It's an Iron Man movie. Like, what else could it be? Whereas a Batman movie, it's like, holy shit, here's a Batman movie. Here's what I expect. Yada, 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 yada. Like, here's all the list of things that I can see. Same thing with Captain America. All right, let's see how this Captain America movie is. Superman movie comes out. All right, this is what I expect because Superman's a big name.
Doesn't help that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and finish.
Go what you were going to say, and then I'll say the next
one. Well, I was going to say, it doesn't help that, like, we have these predisposition of mm-hmm. Superman and Batman, because we've seen them in, possibly comic books as of back then.
They're just so popular, to the general fan, I feel, too.
For one of each, we've had at least one mm-hmm. cartoon series. Mm-hmm. We've had the Justice League and the Justice League Unlimited. We had multiple Superman movies, multiple Batman movies, before this DCEU even started.
I actually like that, too. I like that point because it's something I didn't think about.
Like, we have a predisposition to all these, so we have all these expectations mm-hmm. we can take out of these two superheroes.
And, of course,
and
like,
boom.
We were both born in 90.
Yes.
So that kind of puts you where we would be, where we grew up.
Yeah.
DC was dominating, and I would say,
DC was dominating.
DC was dominating the animated game. Animated movies, animated TV series. Because guys are
like, we did actually have, and no one I talked to really remembers these. Mm-hmm. There was a Hulk cartoon out.
There was an Iron Man cartoon out. I remember watching it as an adult and going, what's this?
Yeah, there's a Hulk cartoon out. I remember seeing it a little bit as a kid here and there, but it wasn't like readily available for some reason.
As a kid, the only two...
The Iron Man one as well. There was an Iron Man one.
Iron Man. Ching. Such a 90s intro.
Iron Man guitar solo.
Basically, that's what it is. But
in the
90s. Really, to me, there were only two Marvel animated series that I had to catch, and you could name them both.
Spider-Man and X-Men.
That was it.
Yep.
Like, those were the only two. Whereas on DC, you had Batman the animated series. You had Superman the animated series. You had Justice League Unlimited, Teen Titans then, as we went into the 2000s. God, I'm trying to think if there was any. There was probably more that I watched that I just don't remember from DC. But, like, that alone beats out two. And, like, Spider-Man and X-Men were amazing. I love those. And on top of that, you had the non-Marvel, non-DC Dragon Ball Z trying to compete with them. On top of that, you had on Fox, which was also with the Spider-Man and X-Men, the Power Rangers, which was competing with all that, but really that helped out X-Men and Spider-Man because it was on Fox just like they were. But they, like, DC was dominating. And the thing I'm going to pull it back in is Iron Man and Cap. There weren't expectations coming.
No, they're not. If there were, they weren't huge. Because
think about the last two, or just this. Think about the biggest DC heroes right now in movies.
Right now, it's going to be Wonder Woman and Aquaman.
Two heroes
that have really
had no expectations coming in. First off, Aquaman was a joke. Let's be completely honest. Everyone,
to be
who
fair,
knew Aquaman
at
like,
that point they turned you around.
Aquaman, but I'm saying like. Even before Justice League, like Aquaman's, like you look at the Big Bang Theory and like, oh, the Halloween costumes, oh, you're Aquaman, ha ha ha. Ooh, blah, 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 blah. Ooh, Aquaman, ha ha ha. Aquaman's been a joke. So that already sets up the expectations to where I want, when you go into that movie, you go, holy crap, Aquaman's kind of cool.
It's like, fucking awesome.
Like the thing I was talking to Pete, and you weren't here for this, Dave and I were here, but I'll relay it to you because you were watching the movie with us. He was like, he just asked us, he goes, Did your theater cheer out loud when Momoa broke into the submarine? And I was like, yep, there were a couple ladies in the back were like, get it, Aquaman. He's like, okay. He goes, was not expecting that.
No.
Did not expect that to happen at a superhero movie.
No.
But that's like you said, they've changed the character.
Wonder Woman.
To where that movie, no expectations, because like, yes, there are people out there that are like, Wonder Woman's my favorite hero. But overall, there was no real expectations. Plus, we were so low after BVS.
Yeah.
To where we needed something to pull us out. And now I would say Wonder Woman and Aquaman are your Cap and Iron Man right now. And
yeah.
Is that a problem for the DCU? Does it need to be Batman and Superman?
It doesn't. Go with what you have and work with that. You can bring back Batman and Superman eventually. But again, you have to remember there's a predisposition. There's a huge predisposition for those two.
Yeah.
Because everyone and their mother has heard of who Batman and Superman are. They know something and some general knowledge about them. And as you've watched more of these things, have you, like us, we have a huge expectation of what the two of them would be. When we went to see Iron Man, to be fair, yeah, I liked Marvel, but I didn't know a lot about Iron Man because I didn't have a huge access to comic books at the time. Same with Cap. But, I mean, when it came to Batman and Superman, I still knew a lot about them because of all the stuff I used to watch as a kid.
So,
like, that's the same with Wonder Woman and sort of with Aquaman. Aquaman's a little bit different because we had this predisposition. Oh, he's kind of a, pardon my language, he's part sort of a pussy.
Yeah.
He's sort of a bitch. He's sort of a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman, you didn't really have, like, it was kind of the same as Iron Man and Cap.
But, like, even look at, and I'll throw Dave into this.
Yeah.
Why Dave wasn't happy with the DCEU Flash.
Yeah.
Because in his head, He has an image of what the Flash is.
And that's what's going to happen.
And that does not fit his image.
And see, that's going to happen with certain fanboys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I knew more about Wolverine than any other X-Men or any other Marvel characters that were, like, not mainstream.
Arguably got lucky with
Hugh. Lucky with Hugh Jackman.
I was
happy with it.
Fox got lucky that Hugh Jackman turned into what he could be.
Exactly.
Because, like, if Hugh Jackman doesn't fit that role like a freaking glove.
Yeah.
Like, think about all the Batmans we have. Has any of them fit Batman like a freaking glove?
I would leave that one up to you.
I would say no. None of them have fit Batman. Like, to me, because you can talk about the Wolverine side.
Yeah.
But to me, and I know the voice isn't it, but the, like, demeanor is.
Yeah.
To me, the quintessential Batman will always be BVS, or not BVS, BTS, the animated series. Because.
Yeah.
The Kevin Conroy Batman, and I'm not saying the voice has to be exactly the same, but just the demeanor of Batman, where, yes, he was strong, but he used his detective skills, and he was very savvy, and he had, like, that soft-spoken voice that was, like, but really it was also, and here's another dynamic to Batman that Christian Bale hit, whether or not you like the voice was its own, of should Bruce have to change his voice as Batman? Whereas, could somebody listen to his voice? And Kevin Conroy did, where he made the Batman voice a little bit lower
than
the Bruce
in,
voice. But there's also that where it's like, okay, maybe I have to change the voice between the two so no one can ID me. Whereas with Wolverine, I'll let you talk. The same thing with, like, Hugh Jackman compared to what you saw
and
from the anime.
To be fair, it developed over time to be what it was by the end, like full out Wolverine. And my knowledge of Wolverine grew since then too, because I started reading more of the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I started reading Old Man Logan and all that. And that's the thing is, his demeanor as it went through the movies. Turned more and more into Wolverine to where he had the savage side, but he also had, like, the soft side and the caring side, but also tried not to show it because of how much he was hurt over the years. He pulled all those parts into it. And yeah, the first one was like, oh, this
Gene
is really cool.
Gene Scott. That just, when you said the soft side, I'm like, oh, that popped into my head for some reason. But
yeah.
Go on.
But no, I mean, that I basically made my point, I think, is that he pulled all, like, he figured out all the aspects of being the Wolverine. And he portrayed it really well. And as it went through the movies, because he's been in every X-Men movie possible as Wolverine.
So I'm going to throw something out here.
Except for this coming one, maybe.
I'm going to throw out a plan.
Yeah.
And this is, they're not going to do this. But of course, this is like the wrestling version of fantasy booking.
Okay.
Where this would be my perfect plan for DC heading forward. Had to cough a little bit. Maybe need to get a drink of water in between segments. But
maybe.
So right now, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 individual movies planned between now and 2021. I'm going to take a second to read something on the podcast, and this is going to be a lot, but I want this story out there, and then I'm going to talk about it. So here's the background, the storyline. The storyline was first mentioned at the conclusion of the Sinestro Corp War in Green Lantern Volume 4, Number 29. As the war between the Green Lantern and Sinestro Corps reaches its climax, the four Green Lanterns of Earth, Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner, John Stewart, and Kyle Rayner, are told by the Guardians, Gantlet, and Said of the Blackest Night prophecy. According to the prophecy, the two existing corps would be joined by five new ones, each driven by a specific emotion and empowered by a specific color of the emotional spectrum, leading to the War of Light that would subsequently destroy the universe. John says the prophecy has its origins in the story Tigers by Alan Moore, which touches on the rising up of the Guardians' enemies, the Weaponers of Quad, ranks the Solid City and the Children of the White Lobe. The destruction of the Green Lanterns and shows how Hal Jordan, Sinestro, and Mogo dying. Both Geoff Johns and Ethan Van Skuer have said that Blackest Night is the third part of the Green Lantern event trilogy that began since Rebirth. The reason why I read this was, here would be my plan.
Okay.
And this is if DC wants to do what Marvel has done.
Okay.
Like, not exactly like, yes, let's do exactly that. But the idea of, because in comics, we have these events, Secret Wars, Blackest Night, these like big events that go, they span different comics. They span over a long couple graphic novels.
Yeah.
To where this is a full series. This is an event that we were going with. Flashpoint was a little contained into one. So that's why that would be just its own movie. But here's what I would do.
Okay.
Keep the solo movies going. But with the, when you start the Green Lantern Corps movie, make that the beginning of something bigger where you're not announcing it. It's not like, hey, we're going to do this trilogy. No. You use that movie to show us Hal Jordan and to show us the, John Stewart. But you can also at the end show us Sinestro. You don't need a second movie to have them go against Sinestro. You could just have Sinestro. We know who Sinestro is. Mention him at the beginning. He finds the power ring at the end, or the yellow ring at the end. They fight at the end of the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would do is your next Justice League type thing would be throughout these separate movies. Maybe it's just the Green Lantern movies moving forward and then some individual movies, the Blackest Night storyline. Because when you get to the actual Blackest Night graphic novels, that's everybody. And of course, that is something that it's really big. And of course, when you get to that level, it's kind of like an Infinity War endgame type of payroll, because you're going to have Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Flash. You're going to have all these people in this movie. But I wonder, like, if that's the goal. Just keep these single individual movies. Oh, Shazam as well, because he's in there. Keep all these individual movies just kind of going. But if you want to lay down the track for a Justice League movie, that is what you do. Like, it doesn't have to be Blackest Night. That's the example I'm using. But set up a Justice League story that starts with one, gets hinted over here, eventually becomes the climax in a Justice League movie, and then it can end right there and poof, you're gone.
So I want to add something to yours because I liked it. So remember how we get we usually have one Green Lantern in the Justice League at a time? The way to kind of separate the two, John Stewart, and have a buddy cop, and then at the end they kind of split, fighting Sinestro, but also kind of wrapping that Hal Jordan gets kind of like taken over or whatever happens to him with Parallax.
Okay.
And have that how it breaks in. John Stewart goes to Earth, becomes part of the Justice League, and make the side story of Hal Jordan and Parallax, or just make it nothing.
Because, like, I'm looking at it here.
Yeah.
There are numerous ones. Like, Crisis on Infinite Earths are not going to do because the CW is doing that.
Yeah.
Blackest Night's interesting. I throw that out, but, like, you could even do Sinestro Corp Wars.
Yeah.
But that could be, like, a Green Lantern-contained story, and then it goes into Blackest Night that brings out the Justice League. I'm trying to look here for some more of them. This is giving me, like, Civil War would be, like, a flashpoint, where that's a self-contained movie. You know what I would love to see, actually?
Huh.
And this goes against what I just said with the Blackest Night, but it just popped into my head. Give me a Superman movie. Give me Red Son. Are you familiar with the story of Red Son?
No, not really.
The story of Red Son, alternate universe. What if Superman landed in Russia and not in America?
No, I do, I do remember that one.
Give me that movie.
That would be interesting.
Of a Russian Superman.
That would also be a one-shot, I feel like, too, though.
Exactly. No, yeah. But that's what you're doing right now. Like, Wonder Woman 84, 85, whatever. The Shazam movie. If you're doing this one-shot, even, like, the Joker, which is the Joaquin Phoenix one.
Yeah.
Give me that one-shot. Give me that. Superman as a Russian? Like, I know that I... Spoiler alert for Red Son if you never read it. The thing that Mark and I didn't like about it was at the end of it... Do you care if I spoil it for you?
Go ahead.
I should have asked that before I go into it. But at the end of it, it kind of creates a time loop where it's like, kind of like, oh, here it starts and then it goes back. And it kind of seemed kind of like, really? That's your ending? Like, it's a time, like, really, there's no real ending. It's just a time loop kind of a thing. So, I mean, it really turned us off in the end.
Yeah.
But I loved Russian Batman with his winter hat on.
Yeah.
German accent. It would not fit in Russia. But, yeah, like, to kind of bring it back to the main question to end this is, will the Batman affect what they're doing? I'm going to say yes and no.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I feel like it's going to keep them on this path of single movies. Hell, it could even be a thing of like, we're going to give Matt Reeves three movies. Is it a trilogy? Maybe. You got three movies to tell your story.
Do whatever you want to do with it.
It's not going to lead to anything. Or they can say, hey, let's have these individual movies, and then eventually we will plant seeds leading to a bigger event.
Yeah, we want to eventually. Final thoughts? Yeah, no, I can agree with that. It's not going to change anything when it comes to storyline necessarily, but like it might change their dynamic. And I think that's already started when they started doing Aquaman and Wonder Woman and like realizing, no, maybe we should maybe focus more on individual movies.
Because we didn't even get real Black Manta in Aquaman.
No,
like,
we
got Black Manta, but it wasn't like Black Manta against Aquaman.
Yeah, it wasn't Fallout Black Manta v Aquaman. It was the start of Black Manta, which was a good way of, I think it was a good way of doing it.
We're going to get that in two now.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to see Black Manta because although he looked like a Power Ranger, he looked boss.
Yeah. And also he's going to, also he's really going to like have a lot more to go against Aquaman and a lot more to want, like a lot more hatred towards him now. He has a lot more anger towards him now. But, I think it would be a good way to do it, but just have like the underlying, like the first, see, or actually, yeah, this whole first 10 years of Avengers and Marvel movies has all been one underlying big thing in the long run. Make that the DC part of it, if they really want to connect everything back, is this is when we get our Justice League movie, when something really big is going to happen.
Where you're basically like, think about it this way, where Marvel didn't say, here's Thanos.
Yeah.
They just started planting little seeds seeing if it works.
We didn't see Thanos. We didn't see anything of Thanos until
the Avengers movie.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't hear about Thanos till the Avengers movie.
And even that, like, not even the creator of Thanos knew Thanos was going to be in that movie.
Exactly. We just saw him turn and smile, and that was all we got of him.
God, look back at that Thanos, and then look at the Thanos that we have now. They're vastly different.
Yeah.
But any final thoughts before we move on into some good old Birds of Prey?
No, I think we're good.
Well, this is where you guys come in. Let us know what you think down below in the comment section. Let us know what you think about all of this going on with the Batman movie. Will it affect the DC future movies? Will it not? Let us know down below. And Johnny, let's move right on into our last topic, completing the DC podcast for today. And we're talking a little Birds of Prey because right before the Super Bowl, this will probably be a Super Bowl ad. I would be surprised if it was not. Just like, by the way, I have not watched the Sean Hobbs and Shaw, whatever it is for Fast and Furious, because I will want to see that when it is aired during the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Because I am assuming it will be aired today during the Super Bowl. But we got a Birds of Prey teaser, and this teaser will be down in the description. It is a whopping 30 seconds, not even 30 seconds. It's 29 seconds long.
Oh, damn.
And here's what we got in this little 30 seconds, is they've showed us Harley Quinn, what Margot Robbie is going to look like. They've showed us the Huntress, what a Mary Elizabeth Winstead is going to look like as her. They showed us Canary, which will be played by Jurnee Smollett-Bell. I hope I said that right. They showed us Cassandra Cain, which is going to be Ella J. Bosco. They showed us Renee Montoya, we think that she's the one with the bottle, played by Rosie Perez. We know she's in the movie, but we'll see. They show us Ewan McGregor, who's playing Black Mask. And then they show us Chris Messina, who I did not know this heading in, and I am excited for it and love the look so far of Victor Zsasz. That will be played by Chris Messina. And that's what we have right now, Johnny. So I am going to kick it to you first. I know it's small. I know it's only 29 minutes. What were your first thoughts from seeing the teaser trailer? Now that we actually see something for Birds of Prey.
You know, I'm trying to look through the teaser trailer. The first thing is like, who the fuck is everyone?
Exactly.
Because they're flashing through it so quickly that it was hard to tell, like, because that's what the first thing you and I do.
And thank God I found the IGN article we're looking at.
Yeah, where
they screenshotted did the hard work and took screenshots for us.
Yeah, no, that was nice, because then we get to see who everyone is. The first one I was thinking, like, well, obviously, like, you're trying to figure out, oh, okay, that's Black Canary, and I really think that's still who was drinking from the bottle.
You do?
I do think so. You obviously see the Huntress, because you see the big sign of long coat with a crossbow. So it's like, oh, that's the Huntress. Who the hell else could it be? They obviously just show Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. No hiding, like, no saying, like, giving you really quick shots. No, she's at the very beginning blatantly and very at the end blatantly, because you get the Harley Quinn.
She's a selling point.
Yeah, she is. Well, let me see. You get the start of it is the Harley Quinn shoes and the hammer, right? Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Okay. And that's where it just all starts. And then she's at the very end where she is just in the hot, whatever that costume is, very bright pink shirt and whatever.
Oh, you're talking about at the end.
At the the beginning and end.
I thought you were talking about something else.
She starts and she ends it because, like you said, she's the selling point of this so far. Because, yeah, if you look into it, you're like, oh, Ian McGregor's in it. Damn, like, I mean, you and I at least, because he was,
there's a reason Obi-Wan why Kenobi. Margot Robbie is also a producer on this movie.
Oh, there you go.
This movie is for her. Like, this movie is her character's movie.
That's true.
This is our Harley Quinn movie. But here's the thing I'm going to say. I don't know if the bottle is the Huntress. And the reason...
I'm not saying the Huntress. Black Canary is what I was saying.
You know,
I think it's Black Canary.
Okay, no.
What
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, it's hard to tell.
It is kind
of. I'm still going to say no.
Really?
But it's a harder to tell no. So I was going to say no for the Huntress because the hairstyles are different.
Yeah.
But if you look at Black Canary to the silhouette we see drinking.
Yeah.
Here's the only thing that I'm going to say no on. Based off of the hair that I see just around her right shoulder,
yeah,
is her hair long enough or is it short hair? But the hairstyle looks fairly similar to what we see in the still when we have Black Canary. And this is a movie that I am intrigued for, Johnny.
Yeah.
After seeing that, like before seeing this, I was like, Birds of Prey. Take it or leave it. I'm intrigued, not like a holy shit, I have to see this movie. But more so as like a, all right, you've piqued my interest, DC. What are you going to do with it? Because the big thing for me is what are they going to do with Harley Quinn? And the reason why I say that is I bring up a Screen Rant article, and I am going to read this to you, Johnny.
Okay.
Rumors of a slightly different Harley Quinn coming to movie screens have circulated for some time, right down to her Suicide Squad tattoos being removed. But it's always been hard to tell which of those reports were wishful thinking from Suicide Squad's detractors and which were conscious decisions made behind the scenes of Birds of Prey. The newly released teaser footage shows Margot Robbie sporting all the same visual tattoos, but it's a photo of Harley Quinn's wardrobe that seems to be the most potently shocking clue. And what they have is Harley Quinn's, she's got on, so it was at the picture that we saw at the end of our trailer where it looked like the Instagram picture.
Yeah.
That she was throwing up the peace sign. If you look at the dog bone necklace she has,
it says Bruce
on it.
Yeah.
So there's a Bruce necklace on that, obviously, Batman. And here's the thing they say Bruce Wayne or Bruce Tim. Is that a, hey, I'm mocking Bruce Wayne, or just a kind of nod to Bruce Tim, who writer of like Batman comics and stuff,
okay,
and writer of Harley Quinn stories. So there's could that be either as well. And that says, could Harley know Bruce Wayne is Batman? I think they're going hardcore into this whole wardrobe thing. Batman's secret proves Harley's a hero. And that's what they go to. So they're kind of, I guess, guessing at what the story could be. I know we're not getting this from the teaser trailer. I just want to ask you in general. This will be more of like a prediction, not a like, hey, what'd you see from the trailer? But since we're talking about it, I'll ask it. Do you think they should rewrite Harley's Suicide Squad origin story? Should they retcon it a little bit in Birds of Prey?
What do you mean by that? I mean, I'm not sure what you're getting at.
There's usually, let's say, in certain series that go on for so long. For example, I'll throw Star Wars out there.
Okay.
Leia was never supposed to be Luke's sister. But then later on, they retconned it to where, okay, no, they are brother, sister. And then it just became what it is. And they are brother and sister. Should they retcon and change some things from Suicide Squad that maybe they didn't hit well with the fans or it didn't fit well in general and kind of forget that ever happened? Or should they base it off of that character?
I'd say they just base it off of what happened already, and you can find ways to fix it per se.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to think how to put this, because you already kind of, like we talked about in another one, when you're establishing a universe, you can't keep changing shit over and over and over again. I mean, obviously, if you have to because of contractual things, that's one thing. But, like, if you're just going to keep changing the story, don't call it, like, a universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you already started something, and honestly, you can find a way to Are you talking like, because she's a villain? Or what are you trying to say, like, to fix, though? I need a little bit more on that.
Are they going to change her character? Not, like, drastically change her character, but are they going to maybe change her origin and kind of... And the thing that I'm looking at is this is what I would do.
Okay.
And I'm actually getting this from... There's been pictures of Harley Quinn on set.
Okay.
And the big thing that people are looking at is there is one posted by a Twitter handle called Four Eyes Raven. And it says more pics of Margot as Harley on set of BOP. And it just shows her in that outfit that we see at the end of the trailer, the little frill at the top. She's got the ripped shorts with the thigh highs. Well, someone zoomed in and there's a tattoo that is upside down and it says Harley plus Puddin and Puddin has a line through it.
Huh.
To me, I like that because basically what I would like from this, not just because I hate the Jared Leto Joker, sorry, Jared Leto, I hate it. Didn't like that character.
No.
I didn't like Suicide Squad mainly because of that, but also because they tried to just slam a soundtrack down my throat.
Yeah.
But I like that idea. Please, please have there be a breakup between the Joker and Harley Quinn because I get the character. I'm not complaining about the character. Whenever Harley Quinn is around Joker, she's going to be in the palm of his hand. That's just how the character is. It's that type of relationship where he doesn't give two shits about her. He'll abuse her. He'll hurt her. But she'll always come back because he's my Puddin. He's my Puddin. He's what I care about. And I'm always right by his side. I would love this. Make it kind of an anti-hero kind of Harley Quinn where it's like, yeah, I'm still a bad guy. Like, you can still play into that line from Suicide Squad. But we're bad guys. Where she took the little bag or the purse out of the broken window. But she can be an anti-hero. Yeah, I'm a bad guy, but hey, I'm doing this good thing once, and I'm helping you out here. Maybe it's because she meets the Huntress, which the Huntress, also kind of an anti-hero in the DC. And then Cassandra Cain, who obviously was Batgirl, was obviously on the hero side. I know in the comics she's also gone to the villain side as well. That's a lot to unpack, and I'm just going to kind of push that box towards you. Would you like a Harley Quinn Joker split up? Or
do
you want them together still?
No, I want them separated. Because, again, it's just like, you know, I didn't like the Jared Leto Joker. I think we need to kind of, if we're going to retcon anything, retcon that.
Just get that out of here. I don't need any part of that in my...
Just get rid of it, please.
Get rid of it. I will pay billions and billions of dollars for that to happen.
Build a wall around it.
Build a wall around Jared Leto. But Jared, remember, don't think back to my last speech. I don't want you going through the wall. You just stay there within the little confines of that wall. It'll be okay. It'll be okay.
We're going to build a wall around Jared Leto and make Jared Leto pay for it.
It's fun mocking Trump, right?
It's fun.
But, I mean... The one thing I will say,
and
to get away from Harley Quinn a little bit, you know whose character I am very, very intrigued to see?
The Huntress.
What?
The Huntress?
No, not the Huntress. Black Mask.
Yeah.
All we see is just plain old Ewan McGregor. And that's the thing I like about a teaser trailer. It's like, oh, he's Black Mask, but he doesn't have the Black Mask get up.
So we're going to get to see that happen, which will be cool.
Exactly.
I really hope so, at least.
Also, I want to know how crazy Victor Zsasz is going to be.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if they're going to, in the series, have him shave his head eventually. Whoops, as I pull the headphones off.
I mean, he could.
He could.
Right,
he doesn't
now
have
he's
to.
He's got that short blonde hair. That like little like crew cut almost.
Yeah, I'm not saying he has to, but it would be kind of cool to see the progression into full on Victor Zsasz bald. And
do you think he's gonna have question? Do you think he's gonna have any tallies marked on his body? Maybe like he takes off a shirt and we see like on his chest.
I would like to see that. Like
up.
There's some
like he's starting to begin that.
Yeah, I would like to see the start of that. So like he's got the like the, a few of them on him, but not like it's filling up already. Like maybe like a five tally right here and like a two of them over here, just in random spots.
Here's another question I got for you. You might not have an answer for this, but I'm going to ask you
anyways. Usually don't.
So, me and you had a little bit of a discussion before the podcast after we watched this. And yet again, after the IGN article, I do not have an answer. And I want your kind of put on your best Batman cowl and get super sleuthing got on it. This one. Wrong Batman, but okay, we'll punch our way through.
You didn't
this
say
one.
Which one,
but you're going with the. You're not even Christian Bale. You're going with the college humor. Batman.
Harvey Dent. Can we trust him?
Can we trust? No, we can't. But here's the thing: there is one still where I don't know who we are talking about, and that is the still of a female figure in blue shorts or blue pants. With a big golden buckle,
yes,
a yellow top, and a baseball bat. Is that Harley Quinn in different attire? Is that Renee Montoya, but we're seeing not the top of her head? Is that it's not Cassandra Cain because she has the cast
yes, on? Yeah.
Is it somebody else that we haven't seen? Your thought, I believe, is are you still sticking to that's Harley Quinn just in a different outfit?
As of now, yeah, because she's got the Harley Quinn bat.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be because, who knows what that could be about. It could be a change in costume. Mm-hmm. It could be someone else, but I don't know who it would be. That would be the question.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, why does she have Harley Quinn's bat then?
I'm looking right now. I'm looking through the IMDb page.
Because also, don't forget, there's that initial beginning scene where it's Harley Quinn's feet in, like, the Harley Quinn shoes with the hammer. But then, like, most of the rest of the scenes that we actually see her, she got, like, that pink top, pink overalls, and whatever the hell that's considered on her arms. I don't know what you call that.
But we never saw
the shredded sleeves.
We never saw her shoes in there.
You're right, we didn't. So it could be that that's just what she's wearing on the bottom, but I don't know.
I don't know. I think here's what I think of it, and you guys are not going to like my answer to this. It's not Harley Quinn, but I don't know who it is. I don't think it's Harley Quinn. My first thought, and this was bad, was, oh, it's Power Girl. Oh, wait, no, that's Marvel, not DC.
That's Marvel, right?
Exactly. Well, I saw the yellow top, and I thought Power Man. I thought Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And Marvel has trained me too well with that. But no, it's like
yellow and black.
I don't know if that's Harley Quinn to me, because here's the other thing. If it was Harley Quinn, wouldn't she still have the tattoos on her body?
Maybe. You're right. I didn't think of that. I forgot about that one. I don't know who it could be then.
I'm gonna guess it's not a big, like, huge, like, oh my god, brain exploding one. I think it's Renee Montoya. Maybe it's Renee Montoya. I know she's a cop, but I mean, this could be her. And here's the thing with Renee Montoya is because she's a cop, she often lines with Harvey Bullock, which, let's think back of versions of Harvey Bullock we know. He's not always the knight in shining armor cop that you believe where, you got a little money there? All right, I'll take this. I didn't see anything. I'm coming over here. That's Harvey Bullock for
like,
you.
It's not that big, so I'll take a little money, and exactly. This didn't happen.
In the animated series, we'd always see him and Commissioner Gordon getting into it, and Gordon couldn't do anything because he was, if he does anything to him, it's like, great, people are going to then question me because he's my right-hand guy.
Yeah.
Or he's in that position. But Harvey Bullock has not been, also, he has not been the most trusting of Batman in general. So, yeah, this movie is going to be interesting, mainly because I'm mostly interested with anti-hero stories, when the villains kind of become the heroes.
Yes.
And we kind of get the, what is it, the inmates are kind of running the asylum a little bit in these movies. Last question I'm going to ask you, the Batman, we've talked about him throughout everything.
Yes.
Does he make an appearance in this film?
Cameos, if anything.
Does Ben Affleck make an appearance in this film?
I'd say cameos, if anything. It's not going to be anything major or even cut scenes, but it's not. I don't think it's going to be anything major.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the villains and the anti-heroes becoming heroes.
Okay.
To a degree. Like, sort of a Suicide Squad, but Birds of Prey style. That's what I'm thinking this is going off of. Because we're going to go up against Black Mask.
Do you think that this is going to help Harley? Is this going to evolve Harley's character into Suicide Squad 2?
It might, to a degree, make
her... Or she takes on more of a leader role in that?
I would think so.
In that group?
I would think that might be the English. that might be the degree of what happens.
Thought you were going to start talking Spanish on us there. A little German in there, a little French. Thought you were going to
I usually go with Portuguese, thank you.
Portuguese, that's the dialect that Johnny likes to snap into for random reasons. But let us know what you guys think. Obviously, this was a hard one. It's not like the Spider-Man one because it's a teaser trailer.
Exactly.
I can't wait to get a full trailer of this.
That'd be nice.
To find out
what's going on.
The thing that they're doing nice with this is because so many people don't have an idea,
mm-hmm.
this still like, oh, here's what it looks like. You still have questions.
Yeah.
That's
a great way to do it because now you have a lot of questions. You want to know what's supposed to go on.
It's intriguing me. Let me go ahead. Oh, I want to see that next trailer. Ooh, I want to kind of see this movie to answer those questions. But let us know what you guys think down below in the comment section. Also, let us know what you think about that Batman movie. We talked about that. If you're on YouTube, make sure to go and check those out. Also, make sure to support us on patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast. Go ahead and support us on iTunes and Apple Podcasts and go and rate and review the Rick and Johnny podcast. Help us maintain our 5-star rating. I am very proud of that 5 out of 5, as this is the only podcast on MVP to get the good old 5 out of 5 rating. And am I missing anything? Oh, Twitter @MostValuablePod. Go ahead and follow Most Valuable Podcast for all your MVP needs. Want to thank you guys for watching on YouTube. Want to thank you guys for listening on podcast services around the world. For my fellow man-child, Johnny Carlick, I'm the original man-child, Ricky Widmer. And as always, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.